I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. The freelance writer and producer, Graham McRainer, joins me now. He was a full-time journalist with Sun Media, appearing here in Vancouver in the 24 Hours paper. You can read more about Mr. McRainer and his work at fluentfuel.com. You can even hire him. I'm a big fan of his videos, which he continues to make. They're hilarious, self-effacing, witty, and sometimes sardonic. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Graham McRainer. Good morning, Mr. McRainer.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I guess it's noon now, right? We can hear the...
You just heard that, yeah, the noon, whatever it is, just went off. I guess it's a horn.
Are you calling me from that BlackBerry that you couldn't hear Paul Potts on?
That's right, yeah, but it wasn't my BlackBerry's fault. He called me from a coffee shop in central London, which was extremely loud, in particular one customer or employee in the background was really loud. Like, it was a really hard time trying to understand what he was saying. Took me a long time to transcribe the interview.
Now, this interview is part of a feature that you're working on, is it?
Yeah, I wrote it for The Sun and for CanWest. I think it's a national feature. I think it's running this week sometime, I would guess. I think he's playing here on June 25th.
Now, he's one of the famous people that you've interviewed. You've interviewed a lot of famous artists on the sort, Rufus Wainwright, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that what you do, mainly write features for papers on the sort?
Well, that's how I made my living for the last 4 years. I did the Arts and Entertainment piece for 24 Hours and Sun Media here in Vancouver, and now I'm doing a freelance basis for The Sun and CanWest. But, you know, the climate right now for freelance writers is, it's pretty tough. It's hard to make a living, and I'm lucky enough to have had a son 9 months ago, so I still qualify for paternity benefits, so I'm collecting those while I'm doing a little freelance writing. You're allowed to do a little bit of writing up to a certain amount of money, which is enabling me to do that right now and take care of my son, which has been great over the summer. It's been really rewarding the last couple of months. So there's a silver lining to the big layoff that Sun Media went through in March.
We read about that. We read about your leave-taking there. You talked about the climate being tough. Is that the case across the country, across North America, I suppose?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
The climate, the media climate in this country and North America, I guess it's indicative of what happened with you at 24 Hours, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially newspapers. I mean, all media across the board is hurting, but newspapers in particular, just because, you know, there's a confluence of events happening. You know, people are shutting down, costs are going up. People look at newspapers as wasteful as far as trees go. And it just, people are starting to, you know, see that newspapers are getting, you know, aged news, they're calling it now. You know, it's with the internet and everything. I mean, newspapers really, they're having a hard time getting advertisers to stick with them. But I don't know what the new model is because it's kind of untested territory. So I don't know how these giant media corporations are going to survive. And it might be a case of the shakeup that happened, or all these small sort of splinter companies start up again. Maybe we'll be back to what the media was way back when my dad was a journalist.
Now, you're walking around downtown Vancouver. I have the picture of you walking around in your bathrobe. Is that apt or is that accurate?
I'm not in my bathrobe. I'm in my running gear because I'm going to go for a run as soon as I finish talking to you around the seawall, which I do 3 days a week now. Another perk of not working full-time.
Yeah, you made this video, the world's first case of economic depression syndrome. And it's a hilarious video.
Thank you.
Now, did you find that making videos, that this is fun for you?
It is fun for me. You know, I call my writing an affliction because I can't stop doing it. It can be a little troubling sometimes, you know, and some of my past relationships have been a problem. I feel like I'm just a creative person and I have to create things all the time. So when I'm not writing for newspapers, you know, over the last 7 years I've probably written 6 feature films and a television series and, you know, all of them still unsold. But this is, my end game has always been television and film because I took radio and television at Ryerson University of Toronto and that's basically what I've been trained to do. And so the falling into the arts and entertainment writing was just sort of a step in the right direction for me. You know, I was still writing, and it was sort of in that same vein, and I would meet a lot of contacts, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just kind of worked out that it's just kept going, and I still haven't made that jump. But as far as the videos that I make at home, yeah, they're mainly fun, but I mean, it's all there's an end picture for all everything I do. You know, it's practice with editing, it's practice with camera work, it's practice with storytelling. So it's all related, right?
Indeed. They're often very funny videos. Who inspires you in terms of comedy and the sort?
I'm a big Monty Python fan. I love the randomness of Monty Python. As far as people right now, Steve Martin, I'm a big Steve Martin fan. I watch SNL occasionally, but I think, although they've gotten a little bit of their magic back, I think, in recent years, but I'm a fan of old SNL way back in the 70s and 80s. And you know what, I think there's so much absurdity in life. You know, a lot of people take things way too seriously, and, you know, I could have taken being laid off as sort of a catastrophic event, but, you know, and probably for the first 3 hours, I walked around in a daze thinking about, you know, what am I going to do now? I've got a new baby, and I thought I was pretty much, you know, screwed, but, you know, walking around, get some air, get a coffee, start thinking of things, and that's sort of where the idea was born to do that video, and, you know, I thought if I could get people to watch it, it would be an interesting marketing video of my own skills as well. I'm not sure exactly how many people saw it on YouTube, but some of my YouTube videos have gotten, 40, 50,000 views, so when you're talking those kind of numbers, I mean, sometimes, you never know, somebody who has the decision to hire you might see it, you know?
In one of the videos, you suggested you'd had a previous career as a model, is that correct?
Yes.
That is correct.
Another life.
How do you make the transition from modeling to journalism?
It was interesting. You know, my dad was a journalist. He was the editor of the Vancouver Sun for years. And writing was always something I wanted to do, but like a lot of people, and probably a lot of writers, I spent most of my days talking about it rather than doing it. And I was lucky enough to model. I said lucky enough. I mean, it's a terribly cruel industry to be part of, or can be. But, you know, there's good things about it, too. And one of those is you get to travel around the world. And so I spent the better part of 6 years traveling and modeling. And I spent 2 years in Europe. And while I was in Europe, you know, one day I was feeling particularly uninspired with what I was doing for a living. And I found a Ryerson the calendar for all their courses, the course calendar.
Right.
I found one just in a drawer in the apartment I was staying in Milan, and so there's a helicopter landing beside me. I'm trying to walk away from it. So I found this calendar, and I started, you know, leafing through it, and I discovered the radio and television program, and this was in 1997, I guess, and I decided, well, you know, that sounds like something I'd like to do, so I applied for the course, and they only take, I think, 150 people a year, so it's pretty tough to get into, because they get about 5,000 applicants, and so I ended up flying up to Toronto for the interview, and I ended up getting in, and I think I was 28 at the time, so I was a mature student. So 4 years kind of seemed like a lot at the time, you know, to get my degree, but, you know, in hindsight, it's really just kind of a drop in the pan, so it went really fast, and that's how I got sort of, I guess, towards journalism, although, you know, it was more TV production and stuff that I studied. And then when I got back to Vancouver, I sort of interned at Global, writing the news in the morning, and then, I don't know, just things just kind of transpired. I ended up getting a job at 24 Hours when they started up there, and then I spent the next 4 years there.
Now, your girlfriend, the mother of your son, she's a model as well?
She used to be a model when she was younger. I think she did Playboy a few times. You know, different kind of modeling, but still modeling, I guess. But, she's, and then she became a Pilates instructor. Now she works with a mortgage broker in Vancouver.
That is so unfair that you're a model and she's a model. I mean, what does that say about the rest of us, people like myself, you know what I mean?
I don't know. Models, you know, models are the most self-aware people in the world. Like, it did a number on my psyche. Before I modeled, I could go hang out anywhere and not think about other people, if they're looking at me, how it looked, none of that. And once I went through that business, I was just really hyper-aware of my appearance all the time, so I wouldn't recommend it unless you had a really strong ego. Like, it's really tough on people like me, you know? Like, I just, it was just something I was never really comfortable doing, and I think I'm just more comfortable behind the camera, you know?
Will you be watching this Bruno film from Sacha Baron Cohen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was a big fan of Borat. Sorry, it's flying past me now.
And wave him down.
I'm doing some sort of rescue drill, like off Stanley Park.
Now, have you been paying attention to this Letterman-Sarah Palin feud?
Yeah, just peripherally, just what I've been reading on the internet. I was reading a story on it just a few days ago.
What do you make of what's happened there?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess it was, I don't know, did it cross a lot? I mean, this is what this guy does for a living, you know? I think people are a little too PC sensitive these days. Maybe it was off color. I know maybe in hindsight he's thinking he shouldn't have done it, but I don't know. If these guys operate under this sort of, with their hand, one hand tied behind their back, like they shouldn't say this, they shouldn't say that, I don't know. I think it kind of, it doesn't make them as effective as they can be, so I don't know. I mean,
do you watch the late night comics, like Conan and Letterman? And
I do, yeah. I've been watching the big transition of Conan to The Tonight Show, etc., and I'm a big Jon Stewart fan as well.
And Letterman, are you a fan of his? Like, when I watch your videos, I see a lot of what Letterman used to do.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Letterman back when he was on NBC, actually. When he moved to CBS, I kind of didn't move with him, and I find as he's gotten older, he's sort of lost a bit of his magic. You know, he's coming across more as a bitter old man than he is anything else, and I've just heard stories through talking to, I did an interview with an ex-writer for that show who said it was just like misery working there. You know, they're basically locked up by themselves in rooms and told to produce a certain amount of jokes per hour, and it's not a very enjoyable existence from what I understand.
Do you watch a lot of reality TV?
I do watch some reality TV. It seems like it's all over the place these days, so it's hard to avoid. But yeah, I watch some of it. I mean, I can't stand this whole John and Kate thing, but it drives me crazy that I know so much about their life and I've never watched an episode of the show.
And I think we all do. I think we all know a lot about them, but we've never seen the show. And around town for the summer, I mean, I'm asking the guy who used to write the events page on the 24 Hours page, is there stuff in the summer that we should be doing around the city?
Bart of the Beast for me is a great production. It's always top-notch, and it always does pretty well. I think last year it sold out, and the year before, too. As long as you don't go on a rainy day, because the tents can kind of leak. But, that's a great event. And, towards the end of the summer, it's sort of, I guess, more September, but I'm a big fan of the Vancouver Film Festival as well.
Have you seen Les Miserables yet at the Arts Club?
I haven't, no.
I've gone twice, and I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, no, Arts Club is good stuff. I really like the producers. I thought it was hilarious.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this project that are you working on? This Jawbone.tv?
I am. Yeah. I'm doing a couple things for them actually. I'm going to be writing occasionally under my real name for them, just sort of essays. And then I'm doing this project for them under a pen name, Mac Rayner, which is just sort of a play on my last name. And it's like a 10-part series, partially. Well, it is a memoir. It just deals with some sort of edgier, you know, drug issues and stuff when I was modeling and stuff. So I was a little concerned writing under my name just because I may be in a position in the next few months to be looking for a job, and I didn't want someone to Google my name and that to come up right away.
Right.
Because it's a bit edgy material, but it's really, it gives me a chance to really exercise my storytelling ability, because it's basically going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 25,000-30,000 words, I think, in about 10 parts.
And when can we see that?
That comes out, I think the website's launching June 30th, and I believe I'm going to try and keep up the pace of putting out a chapter every 2 weeks. And I've got about almost 4 in the can already, so I should be able to do that. They're about 1,500-2,000 words a chapter.
Well, we'll await that, and we'll read the Pol Pot's the feature. You're very good to do this. I appreciate this, and continued good luck.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. The website for more is fluentfuel.com. Jawbone.tv launches later this month. Graham McRainer on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.